T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John Heyman is brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips haircut app and check in by Brothers Supply, New York's number one source for Ice Air, P-Tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. And by Greenwich Hospital, the man, the myth, the legend, John Heyman. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? What a great time to be a Mets fan.
I am delirious. Let me tell you, delirium has set in, John.
Delirium
has set in. I mean, what's going on right now, and I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. I don't know that. But what's going on right now is just, where did it come from, John? I mean, I think that's the most amazing thing. They look dead and buried, 11 games under 500. You know, it's all over. Forget about it. Another year over before the 4th of July. And now this is going on. It's just, where did it come from?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, if you recall, I buried them only a week after you two buried them. So I was right with you. It's amazing. You got to give them credit what they've done. The rotation, which was basically mediocre for the first couple months, is pitching to its form now. That's one thing. The bullpen, which was about the worst in baseball, one of the worst. I mean, it's tough to beat Washington or Baltimore on the bullpen front in terms of being bad, but probably the third worst for the first couple months, has been very good. And the defense has been fine. Obviously, Rosario has really picked up his game. That's been a big part of it. I mean, he was okay offensively, poor defensively early, and he's been really good overall for the last few months. So it's taken a lot of things, but they're right in it. I don't think there's any question about it. And all these exciting wins, plus they're, you know, we were saying we were poo-pooing it to a degree. I mean, it was very exciting, 15 out of 16, but Miami, Pittsburgh, White Sox, not great teams, but now they play Cleveland, and they've looked good.
Yeah, no, they've looked good. A little help from the Indians, who, by the way, look like they have a hangover of being in New York too long. I mean, he had that drop pop-up the other day that set up two runs for the Mets in front of the Conforto home run. And then last night, let's be honest, I mean, the big play of the game, the non-turn double play, whether it was Santana's fault for not throwing the ball home or Hand's fault for not getting to cover the base. So they've had a couple of those gaffes that have really helped the Mets here.
Absolutely. Yeah, there were a couple things that Indians did I didn't quite understand. I would quibble with the strategy to walk Alonso there. I think Alonso's fantastic. I think he's probably fifth or sixth in MVP right now and going to win the Rookie of the Year. Certainly the Tatis injury has helped that, but he's been fantastic. But I wouldn't put the winning run on base. I don't think that's a great strategy. And then, somebody messed up. I think Hand should have been covering first. It's a little more complicated with guys on base, not just the guy at first, but not a great performance. Did we ever think we'd see Mickey Callaway outmanage Terry Francona? Well, we just saw it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't thrilled when he bunted with panic there, by the way, because the last thing I want to see is Edwin Diaz in the game. I mean, how about the fact, and I got to give them credit for this too, and I got to give Callaway and Van Wagenen credit for it too, that they've basically buried Edwin Diaz. I mean, here you had a game where Stroman goes out of the game after the fourth inning, and Diaz doesn't even get in the game, and thank God he didn't. You know, thank God he didn't get in the game. So they have basically buried this guy to the point now where you're only seeing him when they're up 8 runs or down 8 runs.
Absolutely, and you could see why they weren't able to trade him at the deadline. He's just been bad. At least Familia has turned it around
a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that was the key. Familia and Diaz really not performing to their talent level for the first few months. And Familia is doing okay now, fine. I mean, it's not lights out, fantastic, but good enough. And, I think they've done the right thing with Diaz. And give Van Wagenen credit. We've been all over him. Obviously, the Seattle trade was not worthwhile. That wasn't a good trade. But J.D. Davis, three minor leaguers.
No doubt about it.
They're reasonable prospects. I mean, at that time, it looked like an overpay. for a quadruple, what we thought was a quadruple A player, but he's not. He's a major league starting left fielder and one who's thriving in a pennant race, and that is worth it. I'm sure Houston doesn't regret it. They have a fantastic team, and they got three prospects, two of whom are in their top 30. But that trade looks like a good one.
Yeah, and to me, it's not just what he's doing this year. He is now put himself as one of the core members of his team going forward, as far as I'm concerned, John, J.D. Davis.
Possibly. Certainly is a key contributor this year. We'll see going forward. We've seen guys come up and do great for a little while, like James Spencer and some others, but I don't want to pour any cold water on him. He's been fantastic, and he's been a good starting left fielder and a very clutch too. And I know some people don't think there is such a thing. I was interested to hear you kind of disagree with the bunt. I mean, that's kind of old school. I thought that'd be
up your
alley.
Here's the reason I disagree with it. Panic is hit. He's been terrific. What a great pickup he's been. He's hit. Yeah. He got two hits earlier in the game. And what do you want to play for a tie? So are we going to get Diaz in the game? I mean, that's the way I'm playing it. I want to play to win the game right there. I don't want to see Edwin Diaz anywhere near the mound in a tie game in the 11th inning. I don't want to see
it. Yeah, and a guy on second, left-handed batter.
The guy was on second base already.
It was a little conservative. I would agree with you. It did work out. I mean, I think maybe these things are evening out. They were pretty unlucky earlier, and maybe it's evening out. But, wow, that NL wild card race, very unpredictable. I mean, the AL is taking a little bit of shape, still hard to decipher.
Right. Right.
Three or four worthy teams for those two wild cards. But NL, I guess we finally can say San Diego, Cincinnati. I don't think San Francisco and Arizona are probably in it, but wow. I mean, you've got a dogfight within two games. You've got the Mets, you've got the Phillies, you've got Washington, St. Louis, Cubs, Milwaukee.
Yep.
You could say all the teams are flawed, but they all have their strengths too. And it should be interesting to see whether the Cubs might be left out in the cold or Philadelphia after all they did in the winter. Washington has a little bit of an advantage. Their hitting is fantastic, but that bullpen, wow, terrible.
Unfortunately.
Could go anyway. The Mets they're playing the best of the whole group over the last couple months. So they certainly have a good shot.
Well, I'll tell you another thing, too. By the way, Doolittle, unfortunately, is on the injured list, which is unfortunate for the rest of the league. But
I think they ran him into the ground. Want to complain about Mickey, but that was a poor job to keep throwing him out there. Was he being tough and not telling the manager that he was hurt or what? But I mean, to just keep throwing him out. And I understand the rest of the bullpen has been lousy, and you have no candidates to close without him. But wow, they just overused him.
You know, and a couple other things, too. You know, it's amazing, and I want to get to the Yankees with you in a second, but it's amazing, number one, how good the Mets have been at home, because they haven't been great since they got to Citi Field at home, and now they got one of the best records in baseball at home. They're 36-21 at home. They've been unbelievable. And how about Juan Lagares? I got to give him credit. I mean, he's gotten a chance to play, John, and not only has he started to hit now a little bit, but he's back to playing the outfield the way he used to play it, because he wasn't really – even his defense had suffered, I thought, a little bit over the last couple of years, and now he's starting to make plays like, he used to make in center field. I got to give him credit, and I got to tell you, when McNeil's back, I want to keep Lagares in center with McNeil playing second base. That's what I would do.
You're probably right about that. Catch he made on Allen, terrific.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. How many of the Mets have really turned it on or turned it around? I mean, Rosario has been much better.
Yep.
Ramos has been much better. I mean, the guy's a good hitter. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yep.
But all the complaints about him have died down.
He even beat out an infield hit yesterday. How about that? He got an infield hit. When's the last time Wilson Ramos got
incredible.
An infield hit?
I think you and I could outrace him. But give him credit, because the guy can put the bat on the ball.
Oh, he can hit. He's a professional
hitter. Quite a good hitter.
Yeah, no doubt.
Conforto is very good. I mean, obviously, Alonso's been a star and McNeil's been a star. But to see the improvement of so many different guys, I mean, I know Chili Davis is starting to get credit, and I don't know why it didn't work out with the Cubs. He's been a very good hitting coach. But seems like he has really jived with the Mets hitters. And, you know, it's not just the hitters, though. The bullpen has been much better.
Well, that's Phil Regan.
They have Wilson back. Wilson is a lefty who throws 97.
He's been great.
97.
Yep, Wilson's been great.
And when he's healthy, that's a huge, huge benefit. And Avilon's, I mean, you have the home run yesterday, but he's been pretty decent, too. So they have the lefties. They have the balance. I mean, obviously, if Diaz was going great, I'd see them as more of a threat, maybe, but right now, they look like certainly a great threat to win the wild card.
Well, let's hope you're right. Still 36 games to play. John Heyman, of course, joining us, talking baseball with him. How about the Yankees right now? I mean, a little, you know, they're having a little bit of a lull period right now. Oakland has turned into a chamber of horrors for them. I mean, when they play the A's out there. I just heard the record, and what is it, 7-20 over the last 27 games they played out there. So they've had trouble with the A's, at least in Oakland. What about where the Yankees are now? I mean, obviously, they're going to win the division. That's a given. There's no doubt about that. And I keep saying, really, the next big game for them is game one of the division series against, you know, probably the winner of the wild card game. I would think that's what it's going to be. But where are they right now? I mean, you got to be worried about their rotation going into the playoffs. What about the state of the Yankees right now?
Well, they've been the best team in the league. So I don't want to kill them, but certainly the rotation has been a worry the whole time, and it continues to be a worry. Jay Happ has certainly not lived up to $17 million a year. He was pretty good for them last year, which earned his contract, but he has absolutely not done it. I do not see him as a playoff starter. So they've got to hope Severino can be okay. And you've got Tanaka. You know, Paxton's going to get a start. He's been up and down, but you've got Tanaka. You've got Paxton, maybe Severino, and, you know, if Herman isn't spent by then, I mean, he's been very good. So, you know, it's a rotation is livable considering how good their offense has been. But, you know, there are concerns here about that rotation. To me, they've been the best team in the league. You know, I think on paper, I think people are going to point to the rotation of the Astros and make them the favorite, but I think they got a good shot to win the league. I still think the Dodgers are the best team. They've been the best team from the start, and they still are right now.
All right, Severino, do you see him being back? I mean, how about that?
Well, they keep saying he's going to be back.
Is he pitching like a simulated game or something within the next couple of days?
Yeah.
I believe he is, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like he's on track to be back in just in time. So that's a good thing. You know, obviously, Betances would help too, but we're not quite as sure about him. Yeah, I think Severino's a key man for them because that rotation is the problem. You know, and can he build it back up to be part of that rotation? He may have to split a start. Maybe if Herman's got too many innings or something, they can split it or something. But, you know, the rotation is worrisome in terms of being a World Series winner. Obviously, you're right. They're going to win the division. They're probably going to play the wild card. They're a couple games ahead of Houston now. Probably going to play the wild card winner, which is not going to be easy. I mean, the American League wild card winner is going to be a good team. And the wild card teams have done well in the playoffs. They've won half the games, basically, half of the first series, despite having to play the wild card and use up generally their best pitcher. So not a given. It's a tough road in the American League. And, you know, I think the Yankees have got some concerns right now.
All right. Well, how about, and again, we're talking to John Heyman. Right, how about the wild card in the American League? Because right now you basically forget the Red Sox to me are done. I mean, the Phillies just swept them.
Done. Our done isn't worth as much after we've done the match.
It's August 23rd or whatever it is, and the Red Sox don't look like a team that's on their way to the playoffs right now. Chris Sale's on the IL. He didn't pitch that great anyway during the season. So you're looking to me at four teams for the spot. You know, whoever doesn't win the AL Central between Minnesota and Cleveland, and then you're looking at Oakland and Tampa Bay. How do you see that wild card playing out?
I think it'll be the team that doesn't win the Central. I think Minnesota's going to win that Central.
Okay.
You know, I know Cleveland had caught them, and maybe they'd even moved a game in front at one point. But Minnesota's schedule was much more favorable. They had many more teams against the bottom three in that Central, which is extremely favorable. I mean, those teams are not good, obviously. So I think Minnesota hangs on there. So I think it's basically between Cleveland, Tampa, and Oakland. Oakland's a great second-half team, as we're seeing. I think they get in. I think Cleveland will survive. And I never have faith in Tampa. They always
right, right.
are right. They always do well. They always do better than I expect. But I'm going to go Cleveland and Oakland. It's a little easier to predict, although I may be wrong, than the National League, which is obviously just a crapshoot at this point.
So you think Tampa Bay's out, and you think it'll be the Indians and the A's, and Minnesota will win the division. That's what you say.
I do think so, yes.
Okay. All right.
I have to stick with Minnesota. Evan and I were the only ones who picked Minnesota at the beginning, too, so I'm sticking with them. But, I mean, their schedule, you know, you play Detroit. I know they had a nice win over Verlander last night.
Two hits, and it was two home runs, and he loses the game.
Typical game for him this year. He's given up a lot of home runs.
Yeah, I think 33. I think he's given up 33 home runs this year.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that. All right, well, so that's how you see it. You see Cleveland, Oakland as the wild card winners in the American League. And as far as the National League is concerned, you think the Mets are going to get there, right? I mean, is that what you're thinking right now?
Well, we said I'm going to try to stick with that, Washington and the Mets. But,
that would be something. Can you imagine playing a wild card game against them? Oh, my God. That'll be – talk about that game. Boy, it'll be a lot of Zantac out for that game. Seriously.
Well, both teams have a great rotation, and you'll have a great starter. I mean, then they have to fight to the finish, so you may not have DeGrom and Scherzer, assuming Scherzer's back. He's starting today, tonight, so
we're assuming
he's going to be okay. But even, the second starters are pretty good for the Mets and the Nats. So, the Nats have a great offense. You get to the bullpen, they're in trouble. These games are fights. I know that everybody always likes to say that the team with the rotation has a great advantage and Washington, all this for the playoffs. But, the Braves had the best rotation in baseball for about a decade and they only won one World Series. So
I
think that is overrated. You know, you got to have an all-around team, the hitting count.
Well, it's even like the Yankee situation, for Yankee fans who are concerned about the Astros rotation. I mean, there's no given that means they're going to win. And the Yankees might not even play you. I mean, somebody could knock Houston off in the division series when the Yankees wouldn't even have to play him.
Absolutely. Certainly. I know. I just think that the rotation on paper is not the value that people give it. You know, everybody always assumes that the team with the better rotation is going to win each series, that isn't necessarily the case. I mean, Houston's going to be the favorite. People are going to favor them for that reason. But, look, they play 162 games. The Yankees might have a better record. I understand Houston has gotten cranky. He's a pretty darn good number three starter. But, anything can happen. Verlander does give up a lot of home runs. Houston has not been good at New York. I think you guys have pointed that out. And the Yankees will have they're two games in front now, but let's say presumably if they have the home field, Houston's going to have to win in New York. They're going to have to win a game, and, they have not been good there.
Yeah, Yankees got a little bit of a tough road trip. I mean, they got another game in Oakland where they obviously, we just talked about it, they never seem to win lately. And then they got to play the Dodgers three games in L.A., right?
Well, that's a great series.
No, it's great. It could be a preview of a World Series.
Preview.
Sure.
I like to see that. The Dodgers, they're fantastic. I know I picked them to win the World Series.
You really went out. You went out on a limb.
Haven't been right yet.
No, well, they did. They did get there 2 years in a row, though. They have done that.
Yeah, I know. But I've been wrong for, I can't say I picked them 30 years in a row when they lost them. But I picked them a lot. I think, especially lately. And they have not gotten the job done. They have a great rotation, but they also have a great lineup. They have depth. Actually, their bullpen, for all the teams in the National League, they've all had bullpen problems this year. Basically, San Francisco was the best one probably in the first half. They traded away three of the relievers. Really, in the last few weeks, the Dodgers, the Mets, and St. Louis have had okay bullpens. The rest of the league, terrible. So the Dodgers really do not have a weakness you can point to. Beyond that, they could move Maeda, Hill, and May to the bullpen for October and just start Ryu, Scherzer, and Buehler. And, I mean, their bullpen is already okay, and it could become excellent. So the Dodgers, to me, are the best team. And everybody wanted to point to Houston once they get cranky, but the Dodgers, on the field, they've been the best.
You know, one thing I'm talking to John Heyman, just going back, you're talking about the AL Central, and that's been one of the keys for the Mets. The Mets are 12-3 against the American League Central. 12-3.
Absolutely. The whole division has killed the Central. Central's not good. It's not a good division. I mean, I do think Minnesota and Cleveland are better teams than they've showed against the National League, but, it's bad. It's bad.
But by the way, the Mets are 5-1.
In there. Detroit is, I mean, like you used the word tanking, but they're terrible.
Yeah.
You know, you know, they're not good.
No, neither the Royals aren't any good. The White Sox aren't any good. No, right, right, right.
You got three pretty terrible teams in there, and even the good teams have not been able to beat the other teams in the East. The East is shaping up as a, you know, you got four teams
over 500.
That's better than everybody else. That's 500.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And Atlanta's solid. They're a good team. They're, you know, the clear second best team in the National League right now.
They're pretty banged up right now. You got a lot of guys hurt right now, though, the Braves.
They're good, though.
No, believe me. I see them. My team plays them 19 times a year. I believe me. I know how good they are. Okay. We never get Freddie Freeman out ever. You know, Ronald Acuña, you never get him. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Acuña's fantastic. I posted my top five for NL MVP a couple days ago, and I got killed because I had Alonso fifth, and every Braves fan that was upset that I didn't include Freeman. And they're
you got to put Freeman's Freddie Freeman in there. I mean,
Freeman's five, and Alonso would be six then. But, you know, I think Bellinger, Yelich,
right.
Acuña.
And are you giving Trout the MVP? Is Trout getting the MVP in the American League?
And then you got Rendon. Yeah, Trout's obviously going to get it. There are going to be
Can I say something? I got to tell you this. And I understand baseball. I get it. Baseball, it's not like basketball or even football. If you got a big quarterback, you could be the best player in the world in baseball, and you don't win anything. And that's exactly my thing with Trout. How can this guy continue? He's the best player in baseball. I give you that. So if you want to give him an award that he's the best player in baseball, give him that. But he's not the MVP of the league. His team never wins nothing. Nothing. How could they give this? Seriously, to me, DJ LeMahieu is the MVP in the American League. If I had a vote, that's the guy I'm voting for.
I understand. The precedent had been set long before Trout of guys not only on teams.
No, I understand. Look, Ernie Banks won it with 2 years in a row on a last place team. I understand that. That's, you know, 60 years ago. But still, I mean, I'm tired of hearing about it. I know how good Trout is. Great. Right, A-Rod, yeah. Right, with Texas. You're right.
Andre Dawson,
right, yes. Yep.
Yeah, so the precedent was set, and, you know, there's been this battle for years, whether it's supposed to go to the best player or literally take that most valuable. And, you know, I hear you. I've tended toward the most valuable. The years I've had that vote, I've been lucky enough that or at least avoided the controversy that the best player has been on a winning team. You know, I've had that vote three or four times, probably not that many, but this year I have NL Cy Young, I believe.
Oh,
but,
is that what your vote's the NL Cy Young this year?
NL Cy Young. But
are you going to give it to Ryu,
the guy
from the Dodgers?
To me, if LeMahieu was the clear guy for the Yankees, I would really consider it and upset a lot of people. But at this point, Ursula's been so fantastic, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like it probably will. I mean, it will go to Trout. But, you know, if I had that vote, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I probably would still vote for Trout because in terms of the performance, he's still way in front of anybody. But
he is the most.
I see the point that LeMahieu has actually been more valuable.
And let's be honest with you. Mike Trout is the most under the radar best player in his particular sport that there is, because his team never wins anything. He's buried out on the West Coast, and I know he's got an OPS from here to the moon. I get it, but I mean, I can't. You know, as great as he is, how is it? He's not helping his team win anything. So how damn valuable is he? Let's be real about it. He might be the best player in baseball, but how valuable is he really when his team never gets to the playoffs? Never.
Yeah, I mean, I would say most of the new stat type guys would say that you're crazy. I don't think you are.
Okay.
I think there's a point to be made there that in terms of most valuable, and that's the award title and who impacted the season and the race
right.
and the winning is what counts. And a lot of players would agree with you, by the way, that it should be go to somebody who's impacted the race and helped their team win. So I see that point. I think LeMahieu's been fantastic, incredible, but you know, as I said, if I had that vote, I probably would still go with Trout based on just on the overall performance. Still, I get it, though. You're right. He has not impacted the race. But you know, if you look at the all-time greats, he's there. You know, in terms of the stats.
He's a Hall of Famer. I get it. He's a Hall of Famer.
Williams or whoever.
Right. You know, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's fantastic, incredible. And he might end up, if he continues this for another 8 years, he might be considered the greatest player who ever played. But I hear you. I get it. Like I said, if I had that vote, I would wrestle with it and consider LeMahieu. But I still think if the performance is so far and above everybody else, I'd probably balance it out and go with Trout. But I don't blame you. I know a lot of people would, but I don't blame you.
Yeah, I'm sick of hearing about Mike Trout, to be very honest with you. John, now I just want to tell you, now football's quickly approaching, so I hope you I hope you're brushing up on your NFL now, John.
Yes, I might have to, because I tweeted some support for Antonio Brown, and everybody jumped on me and said I was crazy. So I might have to study a little bit harder this year than I've studied in the past.
Maybe you can help him get the helmet he wants to wear. Maybe that'll work, you know? Maybe you can do that,
Jim. Yeah, they're gonna work that out, I would think. But I don't know. I don't know. I apparently don't know enough to say anything. But I feel bad for that. I like the individual stars in football, and people jump all over them and always support the league. And I don't trust the league because of, look what happened with the concussion. Wasn't it? What's the settlement for? How many hundreds of millions?
No, of course. No, I understand.
Enough, so. The league, to me, has not done enough for safety of the players, so I'm not going to trust what the league says about the helmets. But
you know,
anyway,
what?
I've said enough about that. I got about 900 people tweeting.
Well, I'll say one thing about that, John. It's the nature of the sport. There's nothing they can do to prevent concussions. Nothing. We could talk about this till the cows come home, okay? There is absolutely nothing that you can do in the National Football League.
You're probably right. I mean, the issue was that they were hiding it and pretending and so on.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. But as far as really helping, keeping these guys healthy, you can't do it. I mean, they're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
They're going to get concussions. You know, the only way it's not going to be that way is if you start playing a flag football. And that's the end.
Yeah.
Once that happens, that's the end of the NFL.
Flag football. They've done something. There have been some more rules to protect the quarterback a little bit, but everybody's getting concussions. You know, it's not just the quarterback.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's rough. Anyway, I need to study because I need to do better than last year. I think I got about 4 games right last year. That's pretty bad. I might go for the coin.
Well, the opener, let me just tell you right now, the opener is the Bears and the Packers. And I believe the game's in Chicago. I think so. I'm not 100% by that.
It's going to be
Thursday night opener.
They're all from Wisconsin. You know, it's going to be tough for me. I got to really just use my head, though, and not my heart, and really think about this.
Well, you know we love you, John. I won't be probably talking to you next week because I'm going to be doing a morning show all week. So I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good, Joe. Good talking to you.
The great John Heyman.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.